guys. Trace Fowler here again for Chatterbox Reds. And you know what? We're running on low fuel. So my apologies. Won't have really sound clips from last night. And I'll also just kind of give you the raw version of the YouTube show from last night with me and Shay Neal talking everything Cincinnati Reds. If you didn't get a chance to watch the game, it was a unique one. And by unique, it was something that we've come to expect, perhaps, unfortunately, for this Cincinnati Reds ball club. Bad defense, coupled with more bad defense, and the inability, quite honestly, to make plays in certain positions that you'd like to make plays, led to the Reds' demise in the bottom of the fifth inning. Nick Martini, goodness gracious, you can tell I'm running on low fuel here, folks. Nick Martinez threw the ball really well. You're going to look at his box score. You're going to think to yourself, you know what? Nick Martini's got to be better. And I'm here to tell you that the score line that he threw here, as I pull it up, Martinez throws five innings, gives up six hits, five runs, three of them earned, one walk, three Ks. And it really comes down to the bottom of the fifth inning. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But before we do, we're going to send it to David Bell. He comments on Nick Martinez's outing and the situation that was early in the game.
As I talked about, just one bad pitch for him tonight. Did you kind of see it that way as well?
Yeah, I mean, what a great job he did pitching out of the bases loaded situation in the first inning. And then, he kept making just a lot of just different kind of weird plays. And but he did his job. You know, I know, he wants to limit the runs, but you can't do much about it. He was making pitches, and he keeps pitching like that, which we know he will. He's going to have a lot of success for us.
Justin Wilson, I know it's early on. I'm assuming he went to get X-rays.
He is. He's going to get X-rays. Hit him below the knee, which, you know, hopefully that's a real good thing, but we'll know more after the X-rays. So tough to see them. It was a hard hit ball, but we think Justin's going to be okay.
We obviously saw how upset you got late in the game. Was that building all the way to that point, or was that that inning in particular?
No, nothing was building at all. It was just, it's always better left on the field. It was just an interaction between Emilio and the umpire, and I just wanted to. The inning was over, and I just wanted to make sure it ended that way. So, yeah. No, it was definitely not building.
Did something set you off during the conversation even more so because of the way you reacted when you came off the field?
Yeah, I mean, this is that
I mean, it'd be like getting
specific. No, it's so much. It's just better to. And what happened on the field is between me and the umpire. There's nothing to really talk about.
Photo pit.
Thanks for asking.
I mean, I look like a donut.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Thank you.
On the bright side, are you seeing some things that maybe Candelario's turning the corner?
Yeah, I mean, Candy's working extremely hard. And, we know he can hit. He's doing everything, you know, he can do. It's just a matter of time. So, you know, he's going to continue to get at-bats. He's playing hard. He's working hard and continuing to do everything he needs to do. So he's going to be fine.
All right, that was manager David Bell. He got his ejection as well tonight. Got on the board. Old David Bell got on the board. He's two away, I think, now of old Sparky Anderson for the all-time record. We'll double-check that. We'll fact-check that, make sure that's 100% accurate. But I think he's closing in on Sparky. I know that to be an absolute fact. But here is me and Shay on the game last night and all things Reds. All right, not a fun one tonight, if we're going to be honest, of Chatterbox Reds. It's a late-night edition again. Reds drop the middle game, a chance to win the series. They lose 6-4 to the Padres. Shay in the house. It looked like we have some news towards the end of the show. We'll get into that. Nick Kirby, little family edition. Like they went with the name Betty? So, not Ellie.
Twitter sources are saying.
what the Twitter sources are saying. But we'll get into that towards the end of the show. Listen, I will also admit one thing here really quickly, as many of you do know. Like, there's a lot of moving parts. Usually when Nick's here, there's some things that he does that are very helpful. One of them is schedule the stream. So for those that jump in here in the middle of the game and you like to chat it up with everybody, my apologies, that's on me. That's usually not what I do or my responsibility, not to make excuses, but I forgot. Realized in the eighth inning when we didn't have a stream scheduled, that I probably should make one. So that's that. All right, let's jump into it. Since it's late, we got some true OGs in here. The fact that you're in here this late means you're a nut. Nut cutter, of course, but you're a nut nonetheless. Let's do the box score recap, at least the best of my ability here, as I pull up the notes. This is a game where, again, Reds lose 6-4, never led, found themselves down 5-0. Bottom of the fifth inning is when we had mentioned right before we came on air. Bottom of the fifth inning is when things fell apart. Nick Martinez threw the ball relatively well. Defense let him down. Between essentially, and again, I don't want to crush Jonathan India. I'm not going to crush any of these guys. We'll get into that here in a minute. But Jonathan India really not being able to make some plays that you'd hope he'd be able to make. You couple that into the fact of Spencer Steer being stuck basically in mud, or I'm not sure what happened out in left field, but there was a fly ball that you'd like to think your left fielder would catch. That fell harmlessly to the ground. Espinal gets a ground ball with guys on first and second, and he doesn't really know the runner. I mean, I would assume he knows the runner, but you're not going to get a double play on Tatis on a slower hit ball. He could have taken the lead out. And then, you know, the very next pitch, you basically have what looked like what could have been an ending inning double play. Instead, you come to realize that, oh, by the way, catcher's interference. And then the ball gets hit out to left field again to Spencer Steer, and he loses it in the lights. So if you're looking for the box score recap in a nutshell, that bottom of the fifth inning was the difference in the baseball game. The Reds would bounce back. They, you know, got another big home run from Candelario. And shout out to Stuart Fairchild. We'll get into the deep drive of the day here in just a moment. But that was that. The Reds bounced back. They scored 2 in the sixth, 2 in the seventh, gave themselves a chance in the ninth when it was 6-4. Unfortunately, they couldn't get anything going. Deep fly ball by Luke Maley, unfortunately, would end the baseball game. But as always, shout out to DSC. Who do we want to give the DSC deep drive of the day to? Who do you think ultimately deserves that? Nick, or not Nick. Shay, who do you want? Who do you want that to be?
Well, I think Fairchild's probably went further, but I mean, Candelario, the last 2 days he's had, do you think he deserves it for leaving the ballpark tonight?
Well, I think the deep drive of the day, to be fair, should go to the person that hits the ball the farthest. So we'll do it that way. We'll do it that way. Stuart Fairchild, he broke the longest slump that he had in his major league career. I think it was like go for 18, maybe 19 by that point. And he hit one 103.8. I almost said 104. I feel like rounding up is the way to go in these situations. But for those that are really, really, really specific, you want to know the exact details. It's 103.8 off the bat, 407 feet, 24-degree launch angle. And the deep drive of the day is sponsored by DSC. They are a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com. for more information, and thank you, as always, to John and their team. All right, moving into kind of the game as a whole, I just mentioned the box score recap, Shay. I don't know what to make of this defense, because I think that we can all agree that this defense, to a certain extent, has a lot of guys playing positions that we just didn't expect them to play, or we were hoping that they weren't going to play. Most notably, quite honestly, is Spencer Steer out in left field. I thought he would play there sparingly. You give him a chance to DH from time to time. Maybe you slide him in at first base from time to time. But Spencer Steer being an everyday left fielder, I don't know if that's going to add up long term. And then obviously the one that has been beaten like basically a dead horse, I should say, is Jonathan India at second base. India, for all intents and purposes, maybe from a box score perspective, didn't look like he had a horrible game defensively, but it's just like, you know, those flares, those Nick Martinez gave up a couple floating hits tonight. And it's just like, I don't know, if McClain's there, he probably makes the play. And the other play that comes to mind is obviously, why can't I remember the play that India just completely botched? The throw home.
throw home there. So they went on contact. Shay, I'll give you the floor here. Do you think he would have gotten him regardless, if we're being honest? Like, if he catches that ball cleanly, which he did, makes a perfect throw, do you think they get him?
I think it's close enough where you got to try it. I'm not sure if they get him. I'd like to think they get him, but you know, all the hypothetical, you say perfect throw, I think there's definitely a shot, but it's just, I think with this, like you said, with this defense, it's almost more frustrating because we've seen glimpses of them having good plays. That series against the White Sox, I thought they played very well defensively, and I know it's the White Sox, but I think Will Benson has been much better in center field than I expected, than I think a lot of people expected. I think Santiago Espinal, as much as he struggled at the plate, has been a solid defender at second base and then tonight at third base. I think Ellie is, after a couple games early in the year with some sloppy plays, some sloppy throws, I think he's picked it up at shortstop. I think Candelaria has been fine. I think Stevenson's improved behind the plate this year. So I think there's been some flashes of good, but like you said, it just almost feels like there's these mental lapses, these innings that get away from them where, I mean, let's be real. Spencer Steer is as good of a young hitter as I think the Reds have had in a long time, but Trace, the reason why he's played second base, first base, third base, left field is because he's not great at any one of those positions. They're just trying to get his bat in the lineup wherever it fits. And that's the honest truth behind it. I love Spencer Steer. He's not a great defender at any position. He's a serviceable guy that you plug into a spot in the field so that you can get his bat in the lineup. And I think that, Jonathan India, like we've talked about, like you said, it's a dead horse that we've been beating, but it just feels like it's more of a, it's not just a consistent bad defense where we've seen teams that, it looks like a beer league softball team out there. But I think with this Reds team, it's a defense that's shown that they can do it, shown they have the ability to do it. And then they just have innings like the inning that they had tonight. And you just go, that's the difference in games. And it's frustrating.
It is. I think that there are situations in games or defensively you can point to your team defense and you just don't know what you're missing because it's not there, right? Like if you watch a really good defensive team, you watch the Brewers play for like a week long. Maybe if McClain comes back, you see the types of plays that he makes at second base. When you don't make those plays just because you can't get there, it's hard for you to sometimes to be like, oh, this team's really terrible defensively when you don't see it. Well, the issue is like sometimes this team's just slow footed enough to where they don't even get to the spot to be able to make a chance on the play. And I think glaringly the biggest two areas of issue for that are going to more than likely be second base 100% and left field. Espinal's been serviceable there, but Candelario, again, I don't know how much you believe in the Statcast numbers and the metrics and outs above average, because I do think that, like I said before, I'm not trying to belittle the stat by any stretch of the imagination. I do think it does have a purpose. I think it judges range for the most part, and that's the main metric of what that should be used for, is like how good is a guy's range. And then I guess you can somewhat put a value on how well they play the position based off of the outs above average. If you're going to use that as your metric, I will tell you that Candelario, although we've sat here and we've said, hey, this guy's been pretty good, he's actually a negative outs above average guy. So, there's just in CES is right there with him. Who else would we want to throw there at first base to make us feel better? Maybe Candelario goes to first base or Spencer Steer goes to first base. I think it is what it is. I think it is what it is. And I don't think it's going to get any better. It's just going to be, can they win despite it? Can they win despite it? I don't think there's any help coming anytime soon that's going to fix the problem. You can say that LTJ Friedel's on his way. He did just get some at-bats, I think, in the complex league. So that's good to see that TJ Friedel might be, nearing a return. But to be very clear, when TJ Friedel comes back, I don't know how much that actually solves really any problems the Reds have, because Stuart Fairchild and Will Benson have been serviceable in center field. I guess you could argue that when he comes back, you can kind of slot one of those guys maybe into left field, move Spencer Steer into more of a DH role, which we'll get to on the back half of this rundown. I don't know if we have a DH at this point. Like, you'd like to think that a designated hitter, we'd have a hitter. I don't think we have that right now. And I'm not trying to be too overly pessimistic. I'm just trying to be honest. All right, let's jump into Nick Martinez real quick. I don't have a whole lot to say about him. I think that he did his job tonight. I think he gave his team a chance to win. I think for the most part, if he got any kind of help behind him, he might have actually threw the ball really, really well in regards to going maybe six. I wouldn't give him seven innings, but I would say he could have got through six innings with one run baseball, which is fantastic. I still don't believe he's a starter of the future. If this is what the Reds if the Reds are a good team, I don't think Nick Martinez is a part of the rotation. And I think if you ask the Reds again behind closed doors, if you had it the way that you'd like, is Nick Martinez one of your starters? And the answer is going to be without question, no. But I would just say this. He did a serviceable job tonight. He wasn't the problem.
No, I completely agree. I think, a guy like Nick Martinez that projects as a four or five starter in a rotation, when he's in a rotation, your job is to go out there and give a team a chance to win. And he went out and pitched five innings, gave up three earned runs. He only walked one batter. He kept the, I think, like you said, he was a couple of defensive miscues away from turning in a quality start, probably getting through six innings, giving up three runs or less. And if your four and five starters are putting up six innings and three runs or less, that's positioned to win a baseball game. You can't complain about that. So I think especially compared to, some of his recent outings where he was giving up a lot of hard hit contact and he wasn't making it very deep into the game and it just looked like he was getting outmatched by hitters in the plate, I think he pitched very admirably tonight. I think he gave the Reds a chance. And I think even when, when they dug themselves that 5-0 deficit with all that sloppy defense in the fifth inning, he didn't pout. He went out and got the last two outs of the inning.
No, there's no doubt. You could tell he was a little frustrated. I think he got a ball back from the umpire after one of the base hits, and he's walking by Maley, and you could kind of tell that Martinez was not in a great mood. But how could you be? How could you be? But I will say, after that bottom of the fifth inning, moving into this offense, I'm not one for moral victories, as most know, but I will say that was optimistic. That was an optimistic sign. It was good to see them bounce back and fight back and score a couple runs and answer the bell a little bit. And I think offensively they started to look significantly better than they have the last, call it week and a half, 2 weeks. Just some guys off the top of my head that come to mind. Obviously Candelario, you can't really understate how poorly he's been. It's nice to see him get back on track for whatever that is. It's only been two games, so I'm not going to try to go overboard here. Continue to find ways to eat your candy. I think people think that's funny. Not a bit. I just make sure you continue to support Candelario and his quest to get back to the Mendoza line. The thing is that I don't want to keep bringing him up, but he comes to mind every time. Ellie De La Cruz looks so much better. It's not that I didn't believe in him. I guess I was just questioning whether or not he was going to eventually get to where he actually was a consistent, reliable, professional hitter. I knew he had all the traits. He's God's gift to baseball. I mean, the guy literally can't not do anything. Like you say, hey, you'd like a baseball player to be able to do this. Ellie can do it. The only thing that I was worried about was basically his chase rate, his ability to extend at bats from time to time, his ability to foul off pitches if they're not maybe the pitch that he's looking to attack, extend at bats. He's done that so consistently the last week that I don't want to say I'm all the way there and believing, but I'm starting to think to myself that this guy is a major problem. Like he is going to be a significant issue for Major League Baseball if he's even remotely close the development and or becoming that much better over time that he's shown from last season to this season. And again, I know it's early, so I'm not trying to overreact, but otherwise I don't know who else really off the top of my head super impressed me tonight. It was good to see Fairchild square one up, but again, I don't want to get excited about Fairchild squaring up a right-handed hitter or right-handed pitcher because he shouldn't be doing that. Like, it's not like, Will Benson looked lost tonight when they brought in that lefty. And that's where I'm at, Nick. All right, Nick, I keep saying Nick. That's where I'm at, Shay. Like, I that's where I'm at. I can't get upset at these guys because they're not supposed to be doing the things that they're asked to do. And I guess that's a cop-out answer of saying that, I'm not frustrated all that often, but that often right now. But it's just survive in advance until we can get some help.
Well, and it's interesting. It's a good point because how much of – I know we're frustrated about, you know, Stuart Fairchild's lack of production, hitting 200 with a 540 OPS right now. How much of that is because of the playing against right-handed pitching almost every day? Will Benson's hitting 214. How much of that 214 average is because he's faced lefties over the last 3 weeks? I mean, a position he wasn't supposed to find himself in because the Reds were supposed to have all these problems solved. They weren't supposed to have Fraley be sick for 5 days and you have to throw out the same outfield for a week. And then you have, of course, Friedel go down, and that's your best outfield hitter against left-handed pitching, maybe with the exception of Spencer Steer. But it's just been, like you said, guys put in undesirable situations that the Reds really didn't envision. And obviously they're professional athletes. They'll tell you there's no excuses, but you have to imagine that has impacted them at least in some capacity. But to go back to your point on Candelario and De La Cruz, I mean, Candy, first of all, obviously the home run, the double, the four hits in the last two games is great. But what really stands out to me is he struck out once in the last 2 days. He's putting the ball in play. He's squaring the ball up. He's not overthinking. He's not pressing. He's not guessing at the plate. And I think that's a huge step in the right direction. And when it comes to Ellie, 1-for-4 night, probably about as quiet of a night as Ellie's had in the last couple weeks. But he had a hit from his one hit was from the right side of the plate, and he hit it 111 off the bat. He's starting to look better and better at the right side of the plate as well. And then it was an out. He ended up grounding out to second, I believe. But in that third inning, Trace, with a couple guys on, that 9-pitch battle against Darvish, I went out. I posted on X or whatever Elon wants to call it nowadays. But I went out and I said, Ellie De La Cruz from last year, that's not any more than a 4-pitch at-bat. The fact that he battled, the fact that he fouled off some tough pitches, worked a full count. I know he didn't get a hit out of it, but that shows the growth he's had at the plate. And that just excites me about Ellie because – Yu Darvish is a good pitcher, and he made Yu Darvish throw 9 pitches to get him out.
Yeah, I was most impressed, quite honestly, from that at bat. You know, the one from the right side where he squared up, lined out to center field. That was a good swing too. Not downplaying it, but the at bat that, you know, I know the Juan Soto thing is going to get hyped up about him being in the off season and going and working with him. He's even doing the Juan Soto thing every so often. I don't know if you've noticed that. He's kind of doing the little bit of the lean there from time to time. So shout out to Juan Soto if he makes Ellie De La Cruz have pretty good plate discipline. That would be fantastic. But let's get into the reason as to why these guys are asked to do some things that we didn't think they were going to have to do, and that's because of injuries. And we find ourselves now in a position where, you know, I put on here on the rundown injured list. You know, I don't know what the Reds' ultimate plan is with the IL with some of these guys. It seems like Stevenson not in the lineup again. You have CES not in the lineup again. There's clearly an issue. CES reportedly took batting practice today, reportedly will be ready to go tomorrow, will be fine. Again, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, guys, but until I see it, I got to see it. I the only thing that will upset me is if this lingers on for 2 or 3 more days, Shay, because at some point, you have the IL for a reason. It's to be able to bring some guys up and have some people that are on your bench that can be serviceable. Long are the days of Martini facing a left-handed hitter in the 7th and 8th inning. Gone are the days of Benson hitting against a left-handed hitter. Gone are the days of Fraley having to hit against a left-handed pitcher. Gone are the days that Fairchild has to hit against a right-handed pitcher. We've got to get some guys on the bench that can actually be serviceable, and they're just not there waiting a day, this day, that day. I get why the Reds are doing it, Shay. Like, I think you'd have to have your head in the sand if you think the Reds are just like, well, we'll play with 2 men down for a week. It'd be fine. Right. They're clearly thinking these guys are genuinely day-to-day. They don't want to put them on the IL because they don't want to miss out on the opportunity of them coming back in like 2 days. And then, therefore, you got, you know, some random guys from AAA eating up 10 days of basically a season where you could have had your big leaguers there. I understand all of that, but, you know, I'm just hopeful, and I'm being patient here, Shay. We need to figure out what we're doing with these guys at some point soon because, you know, there is a thing called, like, the 10-day IL that you could use, and not a big deal if guys are going to sit out for a week.
Right, and it's like, I mean, at this point, Tyler Stevenson and CES both haven't taken out a bat since the 27th. It's been three full games that they haven't touched the field. And it's like you said, I mean, just looking at tonight's game for an example, Padres bring in Yuki Matsui in the eighth inning to try and get or in the seventh inning, I should say, to try and get their couple of relievers that were struggling kind of out of that jam and keep the team in front. He's a good reliever. He signed a big contract with the Padres this offseason. He's got a splitter, a slider. He's tough to hit. So why are we having Will Benson and Nick Martini hit against him in the seventh and eighth inning down 6-4? It's not like it's 9-1. The Reds still had a chance to come back and tie or win that game. And because Tyler Stevenson and CES are day-to-day and not available, or maybe they were available and David just didn't want to risk it or whatever, Nick Martini's going up against a good left-handed pitcher, and that puts the team at a disadvantage, where I'm at the point now where it's, yeah, if it's a day or two, I get it. It's like you said, I know that they don't want to put CES on the 10-day IL just to find out that it only took 3 days to get over whatever's bothering him. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I can't say that putting in CES tonight against Matsui would have changed anything. I can't say that he would have hit a home run to tie the game or anything like that, but I'd rather have a guy like CES or Tyler Stevenson go up against Yuki Matsui than a guy like Nick Martini, where that's a massive disadvantage from the start.
Yeah. All right. Moving forward here, for those that don't know, there's an app called Game Time. If you're looking to get some tickets, you can get the Game Time app, download it. You can use the code CINCY, CINCY, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply on the first purchase there. But visit the Game Time app, use the code CINCY, CINCY, and you've heard us say it a million times on the show, two clicks, all-in pricing. You genuinely can see every seat in the house. You click on the seat, it'll show you the view from the seat. You get your tickets instantaneously. You can wait all the way up to game time, a la the name, Game Time. First pitch, you want to wait. Sometimes, you know, you can get a good deal. Get lightning deals, 50% off tickets. Game Time app, download it. Use the code CINCY, CINCY. $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. All right. The other thing too, we have another big time sponsor that's helping us out tremendously, giving us the opportunity to continue to do this stuff, invest in the resources, graphic package, all these things that we try to make the show bigger and better. And it's a heavy topic. I'll be honest, it's a heavy topic. It's a situation where, you know, we're not going to mention it on every show or anything like that. But I just want to say, genuinely, if you're somebody that's looking for help, needs help, there's something called Man Therapy. If you're having some issues, whatever it may be, you're going through some tough life, you can text, call, dial 988. You can get some help. You can take a quiz on there if you're feeling like something's not right, and they'll help you find the resources you may need. So check that out if you so need it. All right, Nick Martini. Let's talk about him. I have DFA right after his name, by the way. I don't like doing this all the time because I feel like it's just a really, really tough, like, you're supposed to root for your guys, right? Like I don't like ever like just completely giving up on players totally. Do I get on guys from time to time? Yeah. Do I have fun from time to time? Yeah. Maybe if you catch me with a little bit more sleep on a day that I'm having a little bit more fun, I'll probably poke the bear a little bit and probably run around and act like some of these guys are the world's worst players. And some actually probably close to being that. That's true. But Nick Martini, I don't know what's left, Shay. I don't know what's left. I'm trying to do my best to come up with some kind of scenario in my head to say, hey, this is why you keep Nick Martini around. But when you have a guy like Mike Ford at AAA, if Nick Martini doesn't even play positions, like, Shay,
nah, he's played,
what
he's
are we
played,
doing?
Like, what? He's played, what, one game in right field, and it was because it was just out of necessity. It's just, I'm with you. It's like, you know, you don't want to bag on the guy, but ever since opening day, I mean, he's got 12 hits on the season, 12 hits in, what's that, 29 games? And he's probably seen playing time in a good portion of those. Bryce Spaulding tweeted earlier tonight, and it really stood out to me. In April for Nick Martini, he has a 185 on base percentage, 20 strikeouts, and he's only drawn one walk. That's your primary designated hitter against right-handed pitching. And it's no offense to Nick. I mean, I'm sure he's a great guy. Those two home runs on opening day will be remembered for a long time in Cincinnati. It was a cool moment, cool experience. But right now, he's not a good enough hitter to play every single day for a team that wants to go to the postseason. And It's no hard feelings. It's nothing. I mean, I should say it's nothing personal, but it's the business of baseball. And if you want to be a good team, you got to play good players. And right now, Nick Martini just isn't a good hitter.
Couldn't have said it much better myself. I would even add to the idea that, you know, every single year, maybe we have this sacrifice that is the opening day hero. Last year it was Jason Vossler. This year, it's Nick Martini. So you had mentioned...
I mean, it makes sense. It's a little conspiracy theory you just came up with there.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that on the fly like that, but I will say that they will not be forgotten. They will not be forgotten on this show. Jason Vossler was mentioned all year last year on this show. For good reason. If you're an opening day hero, you get a little bit of street cred around Cincinnati. So, you know, Nick Martini, if he gets DFA'd, it won't be all for naught. It won't be all for naught. We'll appreciate his services. And I still remember the home run that he hit last year against the Chicago Cubs. And Nick Martini's had some big hits, but the problem is that, and all, let's also be very clear, like, this isn't the end of the road for Martini 100%. Maybe he, you know, maybe he finds a way to go unclaimed and gets himself in a position where he kind of sticks on a minor league or sticks down in Louisville and he gets called back up at some point. I don't know. But right now I just think that it's time for maybe a fresh set of bats, and one of them would be Mike Ford.
I think if obviously this is all hypothetical, but if guys like Friedel and McClain and Marte are in this lineup, you might be able to get away with a guy like a Nick Martini a little bit more because you'd be hitting 8-9 in this lineup where you can wait, you know, that 2-3 days, 4 days for that big double or that big home run or whatever. Cause he has proven on multiple occasions that he lives up to the moments. He has some clutch hits for this
team.
But with no Marte, with no Friedel, with no McClain, three really quality hitters on this team, it's really been Steer and Ellie being the two most consistent bats with, you know, moments of Benson and moments of Stevenson and moments of Candelario the last couple of days, moments of India. But there's not enough depth. There's not enough guys that are swinging the bat right now for you to have a guy that's getting on base at a 185 clip and has drawn one walk in the month of April. You just can't have that.
Can't have it. Big Z said it perfectly with the big super chat here. He said, we're in the mix with a couple guys in the lineup that just aren't big league players. Positive vibes. Love you guys. Love you, Betty. Shout out, Nick. I agree. It's as simple as that. I don't really know what else there is to say about it other than just like you survive in advance. You pray that you can get through, I don't know, maybe the next month with good pitching and timely hitting. I mean, you look at this Reds offense, and you do have to scratch your head a little bit and be like, how do they have such a good record? Like how have they found a way to win this many baseball games with this abysmal of an offense? I mean, they are pitiful. And you know, the road ahead is obviously tough. We already talked about it. The schedule, you got San Diego for one more, then you play Baltimore, you play the Diamondbacks, you got San Francisco, you play the Diamondbacks again, you got the Dodgers, and you get my point. Like, just not, the road's not going to get any easier, and I think it's time to start trying to, whatever spark Mike Ford might bring, and it might be nothing, I'm willing to give it a shot, because I feel like the Martini thing is just, it's dead in the water, let's just give it up. Because it's relatively pointless,
Something I believe in is a lot of, I know that, you know, there's so many mechanical things and so much science behind the game of baseball, especially at the major league level. All these, you know, routines that these guys get into. But at the end of the day, a big part of being a successful major league baseball player is just having the confidence that you're a good major league baseball player. And over the last couple of weeks, Nick Martini, maybe he's the most confident guy in the world internally. Maybe he feels like he's the best player on planet Earth. I don't know. But I can't imagine that he's feeling too great right now with how he swung the bat the last couple weeks. Mike Ford's down in AAA, and I know it's AAA, but Mike Ford is ripping the cover off the ball right now, Trace. And if you bring him up for a weekend series against the Baltimore Orioles, it doesn't matter that he's going from Louisville to Cincinnati because he's going to be thinking about, you know, I've been hitting the ball well all year. Nothing changes. I'm going to grab a bat and I'm going to keep hitting the ball well. And I think that confidence could be what the Reds need because they just need a guy right now that can step into the box and feel like he can get hits.
I'll harken back last year. Everybody will laugh here really quickly as we move forward to David Bell getting ejected in just a second. you know, Henry Ramos came up last year, and he really wasn't that great of a player over the course of time. But when he first got called up, like his first week with the club, he provided some spark. He got some big hits. And I do think that there's some freshness that comes with, you know, having a guy enter the clubhouse with a, you know, again, he's not been on the grind per se of what this offense has been over the last 2 or 3 weeks. In his mind, he's coming to help solve a problem, and maybe he will, maybe he won't, but I'm willing to find out. So I think we're both in the Mike Ford camp.
Right, and it's like you said. I mean, we don't need Mike Ford to be this team's six-hole hitter for the whole season. It's just it's very possible that Mike Ford comes up for 10, 12 days, maybe gives the team a couple hits that helps them go 7-3 over a 10-game stretch, and then TJ Friedl comes back. We move Steer to designated hitter, and Ford's a bench bat. I mean, that might be what happens. But right, like you said, I mean, I think that I think the Martini thing, I don't know if I don't think it gets better in the time that it needs to get better before some of these guys get back. So I'm willing to, like you said, Mike Ford might come up and get one hit in 15 games, but I'm willing to try something else.
All right. I completely agree. And then really quickly on TJ Friedl, those are asking questions about where he's at, what's going on. He's at the Arizona Complex League right now. He's getting some at-bats. And my expectation is that he'll take a rehab assignment relatively soon, as long as there's no real setbacks. Just knock on wood on the setback situation, because as you know, and you pay attention to Ian Jabeau, you just never know. You know, every time you think that this guy might go on a rehab assignment, he throws a couple innings in the minors on his rehab assignment. You're expecting him to join the big league club, and the next thing you know, we have a setback. So, again, I hate to say this, I'm just a man of super, super caution when it comes to the Reds and what they are, you know, I guess, telling you when it comes to the health of their players. I'm not suggesting that they're lying on purpose, but I am suggesting that from time to time, I don't think they take it super serious in regards to whether or not they're trying to tell you the truth. I think they just will give you a relative timetable, but I wouldn't hold your breath. So that's that. All right, David Bell tonight got thrown out of the game. I'll be honest, I didn't even get a chance to see it. I was getting the stream set up. I was coming downstairs. I looked. I seen that the Reds had two outs in the following inning. I was like, damn, how'd they get two outs that fast? And sure enough, you had mentioned David Bell got ejected. That makes him two away. I put David Bell two away. He is on current alert now. And I'll double check this. I want to make sure 100% we got the count right, but I about 99.9% sure he's two away from Sparky Anderson's record of being the most ejected manager in Reds franchise history. So, you know, hey, I think he can get to it this year. But he was barking. I guess he was barking about the Emilio Pagan, non-strike calls, I assume.
Yeah, so what happened was, obviously, there was that at bat with Pagan, and was it, I can't remember who was even at the plate. I think it was Ha-Seong Kim. But he started off with three straight cutters that even John Sadak said looked like they were in the zone. They kept calling him low. And then he throws one just to ignite the situation. He throws one that's 5 inches off the plate, and they call that one a strike. But David Bell and Emilio Pagan both not happy with that at bat. Pagan started barking at the umpire when he was walking off the field. And then when the umpire started talking back, Bell came out, tried to get in between them. And then David and I think they said, oh God, Corey Blazer, that's who was home plate umpire tonight. They just started screaming at each other. The broadcaster said it was about a minute. And then Blazer throws him out of the game. And then on his way back to the dugout, David Bell just punts. I don't know if it was a styrofoam cup or a water bottle or what it was, but he punts it off the Padres logo. And it's amazing. And now we just have all these comments, I'm loving it, that are saying the Bengals have their new punter, and I'm here for it.
I'm going to have to go back and find this now.
Here, I have the video. I'll share it with you really quick.
But all right.
I don't know if it's something that Padres hitters are using in the batter's box or if it's just a water bottle that was sitting out there, but he boots this thing.
Yeah. Well, I'll check it out. I'm going to give it a look as soon as we get off the show for sure. And I'm sure that, but yeah, David Bell, he's close to history. And anytime you have a chance to watch greatness, you do it. And nobody probably is going to do it better than David Bell in regards to getting thrown out of baseball games for the Cincinnati Reds than he is.
I'm trying to think of who would be another manager that comes to mind for a guy that's just so quiet and reserved 98% of the time, and then just flips a switch and just loses his lid. It's so unique. I love it about David. He just goes 0 to 100 in the snap of a finger.
Yeah. No, he said he said he likes defending his guy. So I'm sure that's probably what sparked it. He felt like he wanted to defend Emilio Pagan, a new guy to the team, and he wanted to make sure that there wasn't any kind of rift between him getting thrown out or maybe him getting suspended for some dumb reason. And he got in between it, and he protected his player. So shout out to David Bell for that. All right. As we wrap up this show, for those that don't know, Nick, I think he's gonna hope to be back by Friday, I think was the plan. Something crazy like that. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see it. Many of you probably did. Nick Kirby adding another loved one into this world. And you know what? For those that are our loyal audience, I'll do you a solid right here and I will get you a nice image. For those that are listening in podcast form, because I got news for you, I am not editing this podcast tonight. Your boy is running on empty. And when I say empty, we are talking pure empty. But here you go. For those in the chat that might not have seen it, hello world, meet Betty Marie Kirby. So nothing better than a little one right there. So probably some sleepless nights for Andrea and Nick. So best of luck to them in that. But you know what? Not much better than that, man. Not much better than that. Keeps things in perspective. I'm sure Nick's not worried about the Reds offense right now.
No.
We never know about Nick. He might be.
Well, I was going to say maybe a little bit, but not too much. Yeah.
he might be on Statcast as we speak, trying to figure out what the problem is.
He's sitting next to the hospital bed telling her how Santiago Espinal is just that close from turning it around.
Yeah. And you know what? He's not wrong. Although I will say Levon Soto is not looking bad in AAA. I don't know if you've been keeping an eye on him. But Soto.
I was told he couldn't hit. He seems to be swinging the bat all right.
Levon Soto looks pretty damn good at AAA. Now, I don't know if that's an indictment on AAA or if that's just maybe Soto's the man. I don't know. Some may find out. Maybe we'll find out at some point. I hope we don't find out, which means the Reds are in some real bad spot if they got Levon Soto taking up a major role on the Cincinnati Reds. But you never know. Who knows? Maybe he's the next star. Maybe he's the next star. All right. We got the who, when, where, and why, and as I try to navigate all the screens on my computer here, I'll tell you what, from a graphics perspective, we're just going to skip those tonight because, you know, sometimes, Shay, you just can't keep up. But
you just got to survive in advance.
I know. Your overall thoughts on Graham Ashcraft here? I don't know. You're not going to be on the show tomorrow, I don't believe, off the top of my head, but your overall thoughts on Graham Ashcraft in the expectation going into tomorrow?
I think obviously it's a series that you got to win. I think playing on the road against a team that's below 500, I mean, I don't think the Padres are one of the worst teams in the league by any means, but I think that it's the Reds are a more talented baseball team, and I think you got to find a way to get a win tomorrow. I know Joe Musgrove's pitching for the Padres. He's had a great career this year. He's off to a terrible start, but Ashcraft's looked good. He looked great in his last start against the Rangers. His big thing this year has been kind of running into trouble the third time through the order. So I think if you're Graham, you're looking to get through 5-6 innings as fast as possible. And then obviously, hopefully the Reds bullpen can carry him the rest of the way. But I think Graham looked great against Texas, and hopefully he continues it in tomorrow.
In regards to Musgrove, there's not too many guys on the Reds that have faced him a significant amount. The only two really that have any considerable, what you'd call at-bats against him would be Candelario. He has 6 at-bats. He does have 2 hits. So, you know, shout out to Candelario for that. And you have Jake Fraley with 2 at-bats. You have Jonathan India with 8 at-bats. India has 1 hit in his 8 at-bats, and then you have Fraley, who is 1-for-2. So, yeah, not a lot of sample size there. Musgrove is off to a tough start. Has a 7 ERA, 27 strikeouts, is 3-3 on the year. So a lot of decisions. I mean, if you look at not that that's a big deal, and I don't think that's a stat that many people should care about when it comes to starting pitching, but a lot of decisions for Musgrove. 3-3 on the year, 6 total decisions. So shout out for him on that. Ashcraft obviously going for the Reds. He's 3-1 on the year with a 4-4 ERA with 26 strikeouts. Not a whole lot of sample size either for the other side. Tatis is 0-6 against Ashcraft. Profar, who's had a good series so far, he's one of the few guys that that has had some success off Ashcraft, has two hits and three at-bats. And then pretty much everybody else, not a whole lot of sample size. Machado has one hit and six at-bats. And other than that, that's what you got. So, you know what? The Reds got a chance to win a series tomorrow, Shay. Thank you for jumping on here, holding the fort down. Nick Kirby, he'll be back better than ever at some point. Until he does or until he doesn't, we'll hold it down. We'll do our best. Certainly, I know this.
No doubt.
The podcast are taking a big hit right now. Because I'm going to tell you, for those that are listening to the podcast, which will be basically today, this morning, just going to throw it out there. Your boy here, I need some sleep. And as far as editing goes, there won't be editing. Just going to be pure, straight. It's a kid's show, so I won't say it. But it's going to be raw. It's going to be raw.
So, raw audio.
Raw audio. That's what you're getting.
Best way to do it.
That's what you're getting. All right, folks. No dunk tonight. No dunk tonight. No pillows tonight. No fun tonight. That's just the way it goes. But you know what? You got to win a series. Just got to win a series. Reds got every chance in the world to do that tomorrow. I love Ashcraft. I think Ashcraft's a competitor. Ashcraft's a dog. Just the guy we need to find a way to win a series as we move forward into this tough stretch of baseball. But as always, do us a favor. Like the stream if you haven't already. Tell a friend about the show. Download the podcast each and every single day. Even if you watch the YouTube show, download the podcast. Give it a 5-star review. And as always, go Reds. Leave a comment in the comments. Do all the things that every other YouTuber in the world tells you to do. Subscribe, like, blah, 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 blah. But shout out Candelario. Very much appreciative of him to show up in San Diego. That does it for us. We'll see you back better than ever tomorrow. Love you. Go Reds.